Welcome, everyone. I think today's the first sort of official day, full day of Hanukkah, is that right? And someone said it's the Our Lady of Guadalupe Day, and of course here in Kansas City we're going to be celebrating our beloved Rumi's Urs later this evening, and we're just so delighted that so many of you were able to travel from afar to join us, and so many online are able to join us as well. So just so everyone knows, we are online via Skype, and we're also recording, so everyone's good with that. We'll record and have those online available. And we have a very special guest from Europe that's joining us that would like to say a few words, and maybe we'll begin with the invocation. Piero Murshid Hidayat and Murshida Aziza are joining us on Skype.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Murshid Hidayat.
Yeah.
Yes, if you could lead us in the invocation, we would greatly appreciate it. And we're so glad that you're there and able to join us for these few minutes. Thank you so much. And we send our love to you and our deep appreciation for all your work. Don't we?
Yes.
Love, 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 love.
Hello, yes, Aziza Oak. We wish you a happy Christmas, a wonderful evening.
Thank you. And we're always remembering our times together during the holidays.
Yeah. So shall I start now with the presentation?
Yes, please.
Toward the one, the perfection of love, armor, beauty, all united, all illuminated souls, born, bottom, and the spirit of the Christ. Have a blessed meeting and happy Christmas.
Thank you. Thank blessings you. To you. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy Christmas to you.
Thank you. Love you.
What a treat.
The wonders of technology. That really wonderful.
From Holland.
He's always online, by the way. So and like it is now 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock now. So it's just such a great blessing to have that vibration here, huh? Mm-hmm. And it makes the space not seem so far away. Mm-hmm. We're very, very fortunate to have that connection, and that he's, 93 or 94 and up to date with all the technology is so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Hi, welcome. There's probably something back there that you can sit.
Maybe a spot.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a chair. Maybe there is a spot.
I'm fine on the floor.
How about a some pillows or something?
Oh, yeah, very much.
Probably better. I would block the doorway.
Well, you'll be our door keeper. And there's another one, too, if you need a larger cushion.
Actually, another one back there.
There's another chair back there, hon, if you want to sit back there on a chair. You're okay?
I'm
Leo.
Leo. Okay.
I'm also so encouraged that people read the email. You actually got here on time. We had a backup plan. Cabri's been here since 2 in case we had early arrival. That is great. You read the email and you got it. Thank you.
You put it in a different color. And in big time.
Big and bold. Like there are things around it. But you never know. So let the vibrations of the bowl just touch you wherever you need to be touched by the vibration of wholesomeness, health, balance. And let the breath become full and very relaxed. As if we're no longer the one that's breathing, but that we're being breathed. Feel the current of breath move from the soles of the feet upward to the crown of the head, and then let it descend again. And follow the cycle for a few breaths up through the soles of the feet, reaching upward, touching the crown, turning and flowing back down again. As we breathe in and the energy flows up from the soles of the feet, we feel everything being lifted, a kind of upliftment. And when the breath takes its turn and descends, we feel release, relaxation. Everything settles. In this quiet place, invoke all those masters, saints, and prophets who have inspired you along your path. Invite this host of beings in. Imagine all of us inviting these various ones in to be with us invite them to sit here with us, to open us, to guide us, to help clarify for us. Receptivity, like empty cups waiting to be filled, let us say the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan another time. And please hear each other and allow our voices to blend and merge as one, dissolving for this time in the breath and in these teachings. Towards the
perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Imagine your hands being filled with the most beautiful light, lights upon lights, and take this light and pour it over yourself, filling your being with this light, enlivening everything. For several years, we've been focusing on the teachings of the breath as given by Hazrat Inayat Khan, and we will continue that. But we've now also moved on to another level of the teaching, which has to do with our inner culture, our inner development. And so the breath, in a way, is a kind of technology that can get us there. But now we're going to another level, which is such a profound aspect of these teachings that deal with the development of our character and the art of personality. And so last month we began this cycle of teachings, which I think are, again, I think one of the most profound aspects of these teachings, because we know that we may not have the capacity to change the world, but with due diligence, we can change ourselves. And when we change ourselves, the world changes, or our perception of the world changes. So the subject of this class is the development of personality. And it deals with the jarring effect of the ego of another. But we are also that another. Yeah. So the rhythm of the class is that we read a little bit, we do some breath practices, contemplation, meditation, and move back and forth. So in the words of Hazrat Inayat Khan, Murshid teaches, those who know the right manner of developing personality know that the first lesson in life is to efface that ego as much as possible. Those who know the right manner of developing personality know that the first lesson in life is to efface that ego as much as possible. Or one could say, the ego as much as possible. I like to read from different texts that kind of give us a little insight or peek, to kind of set the atmosphere a bit before we get into the actual reading. And so I'm reading now from a text called The Flower Garden of Vinayak Khan. I may need that light there, Jeff. I think it's going to start to get a little dark and my eyes are a little weary. Thank you so much. So Moshe asked the question, but did he come with drums and trumpets? But did he come with drums and trumpets? No. He came in the humblest guise, in the most unassuming manner, as your brother, as your servant, as your friend, as your equal. But did he come with drums and trumpets? No. He came in the humblest guise, in the most unassuming manner, as your brother, as your servant, as your friend, as your equal. Is that he or she? Ask that question. From a little book titled Universal Sufism, The Path of Breath, Prayer, and Zikr. On the subject of breath, this is also by Hazrat Anay Khan, and it deals with the channel of the breath. Can everyone hear me back there? Thank you. Breath is a channel through which all the expression of the innermost life can be given. Breath is a channel through which all the expression of the innermost life can be given. Breath is an electric current that runs between the everlasting life and the mortal frame. Between the everlasting life and the mortal frame. Those who have attained any intuition or miraculous power or any power have achieved it by the help of the breath. But the first essential thing is to clear your throat. But the first essential thing is a pure channel for the breath, and that channel is the human body. If the channel is blocked, there is not possibility for the breath to flow freely. Air in itself is not bad, but when it touches the earth, it partakes the influence of the earth and therefore can become polluted. So it is with the breath. Breath in itself is pure, but if the channel through which it works is not, it becomes impure. That's a very subtle teaching here, because Murshid also talks about the five elements in the breath. And of course we have the teaching of the elemental breaths, and we have the teaching of the purification breaths also, and we have the teaching of the healing breaths. One could say that even our speech, our thoughts can, in the air element, for example, our thoughts can add a pollutant. Or our feelings or our passions could do that. I'm talking about aggression or greed or things like this. So, and also the body, if the body isn't well cared for, it can be that way. I mean, you know on the phone immediately, and I'm not saying people should do absolutely everything they want to do, but sometimes I can tell, especially in a woman's voice, if she's a smoker. You see, that channel becomes more, it's very raspy. So we know that we add sometimes pollutants to our body, but the breath can help to purify that as well. And we live in an atmosphere, unfortunately, that has pollutants in it. I think I've mentioned to some of you that many years ago when I was in Calcutta, I had the opportunity to visit one of the ashrams there, and the woman that was the head of that ashram was a breatharian in a city that is unbelievably, even the locals, the Calcuttians all wear masks. I mean, it's just... And she survived on breath. She had learned to extract everything she needed through the breath to survive. And she was quite healthy. I mean, she wasn't diminished in her physical capacities or mental capacities or anything. And she was very luminous, and she was very... she ran this big ashram, so she was very functional in that way. But she also was very subtle in a lot of ways. And so, this just is really a very... advanced being that can do this, but it is possible. These things are possible. That there are people that exist like that. So it is with breath. The breath in itself is pure, but if the channel through which it works is not right, it becomes impure. The breath makes a circuit through the body. And the channel through which it makes the circuit is the spine. The mystic gives this channel great importance. They call it the serpent. They picture it as a serpent holding its tail in its mouth. You've all seen that image, yes? In almost all symbols, the serpent represents the channel of the breath. In the terms of the yogis, it is called kundalini. When this channel is made clear by the method of breathing, then this is not only a help to the physical health, but it also opens up the faculties of intuition and the doors that are within, where lies all the real happiness of man. In order to clear this channel of all the blocks, excuse me, in order to clear this channel of all that blocks the way, one must follow the rules of mystical ablution and of rhythmic breathing. And mystical ablution is through the breath. Through mystical ablutions and of rhythmic breathing. And we, you know, we have the outer ablutions. We've talked about that. And I know, was it this year or last year when Marion Baker came? Rashida Marion Baker
last
came to
year.
Last year.
Less a year ago, this 2009 or 2008?
She came, yeah.
So she was talking about doing the ablutions with light. Remember, she had us do that. And so that's another method. And I think I mentioned that in the mosques, there's always the water pools that you wash your hands, you know, and then your mouth, and then your back over your neck, your feet, everything gets washed in that way. But it's also a physical washing, but one is also preparing to enter the mosque. And those of that have been around long enough, when Murshida Vira was traveling here to teach us, she would often ask for a large bucket of water outside the dance hall. Do you remember that? I don't know, maybe you were here. And she wanted everyone to do ablutions before they entered the main hall at camp. And she instructed us on that. And so, you know, when you get up in the morning, you know, it's a kind of a good idea just to at least wash the face and rinse the mouth out and do that before doing the practices. Prepares us. So again, in order to clear the channel of all that blocks the way, one must follow the rules of mystical ablutions and of rhythmic breathing. People who cannot understand the subject and who hear and read things by halves, H-A-L-V-E-S, halves, say that some chakras, centers, are opened by breathing exercises, and that many kinds of distress may be the consequence. You understand? So, what Murshid is suggesting here, that there may be people that say, oh, you can't learn that because it may open something, and as a consequence, something may be startling. But then one might as well say to someone that's going maybe for counseling, oh, best not touch that subject. It might be a little startling for you. You know, it's all part of the healing process. And we are in a community of trusted friends that hopefully can, even if they don't understand the process, can be witness and support if we go through those difficulties. We don't have to go through them alone. And it's good for those that are working with a guide to have a trusted guide that you can share these experiences with, so that they're there as your witness and kind of can hold that for you. Again, even if they don't understand that experience, perhaps their awakenings or openings have been different. But just to have someone, you know, as your witness and to hold you in those processes is very important. And to be mindful that every little vibration of life is part of the process. By looking at it from another point of view, one might as well say that the eyes of a child should never be opened, because he will thereby be exposed to temptations of all sorts. So again, there are times when certain areas open up, and to be mindful of that. For example, if the sexual chakra opens up, one can be mindful that the energy is awakening, but the point is not to just to keep that there, but to allow the energy to then continue to arise. And or the heart, one can become excessively weepy, or one could become inappropriately, maybe engaged in some sort of sexual activity that they'll come to be reluctant that they had in the future. So just being mindful that, sometimes that happens during meditation even. I'm sure that gentlemen maybe get a stimulation in that area, and women too. But just to be mindful that it's kind of an awakening and to allow it to move up. All virtue is in self-control. There's no virtue in being dead. So it's not like it has to all be closed up. It can be open and flowing. Life is worthwhile only when a person leads it fully. People look for phenomena, but there's no better phenomena than breath itself, because breath is life and light. And in the breath is the source of life and light. In the mastery of breath, the secret of both worlds is hidden. There's his teaching right there. Life and light. Light and life. Any questions about that reading or anything anyone would like to share? Well, I think we have to do our practice, our purification practice, don't we? So when we breathe, this is a really wonderful instruction that Murshid is giving. Can think of that as a circle. The breath is a kind of circle. The serpent with its tail in its mouth. So it's making a circle. I remember when I know that Pir Murshid Hidayat is very studied in this subject, and has written some papers on the levels of Kundalini. And he's writing a more elaborate paper and has kind of asked for me to co-author that with him. It's a great privilege. Because, as I said, different people have different experiences with this. And sort of what are the things that unfold as these different centers awaken or get stimulated. And it's in a way, it's nice for people to have a map to that, a kind of, what is it called? GPS system, the Kundalini. yeah. So think of it as the breath is rising, and, what I might recommend is that you really consciously follow the line of breath as we breathe in and feel it come to the crown. And there are a couple ways in which it can travel from this point. So just to make you aware of that, you may feel that it comes over to the third eye, and then it can travel along the sides of the face. You may feel that. It will merge back here and then return downward. Sometimes it will pass through the crown through the palate and directly down. So you may feel things. I just share that so that you don't get alarmed or too focused on that. Just allow the breath to flow and be mindful, kind of awake while we're doing it. We should be awake while we're doing it. The breaths aren't necessarily intended to make us relaxed. They're intended to awaken. Really, that's exactly it, to awaken. So many of you know this practice. We've done it together many times. And the breath will follow a cycle of four breaths, each of five inhalations and exhalations. As Murshid indicates here, a rhythmic breath is good, although we won't be counting the breaths. You follow your own rhythm. Is there something happening here, Cabrilla, that we need to know?
Lima was trying to call in, okay, so I asked if she wanted to chat.
Okay, good. So the first five breaths flow in the nose and out the nose, in the nose and out the nose. And for this series of breaths, the phrase that we keep on the breath, and it will also help us keep the rhythm, is by inhaling while thinking, I inhale divine light and life, and then that's sort of that rising motion, think of that, and as you exhale, then the energy will flow down. I radiate divine light, life and light. No, first phrase is light and life, and the second phrase is life and light. So the phrases reverse a little bit. It again is like, if you think of it, it's like closing that circuit, that cycle, that circle. So we're inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the nose while inhaling the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and when we breathe out, I radiate divine life and light. And now the breath shifts, and we take the breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. While keeping the phrase on the breath, while breathing in the nose, I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out through the mouth, I radiate divine life and light. changes yet again, and we breathe in the mouth and out the nose, in the mouth and out the nose, in a rhythmic pattern while continuing to repeat the phrase. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. The breath shifts yet again, and we breathe in the mouth and out through the mouth, while again concentrating on the phrase, I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. Are there any questions or comments or anything anyone would like to share?
there's a question from Raheem Roger. When I breathe, I also breathe through my eyes, in and out through my eyes. Is this okay?
So he's doing with the open eye meditation.
Are your eyes open? Raheem? Yes.
Raheem, I know that you're accustomed to meditating in that way because of your other training, and I'm sorry I didn't give that instruction. Murshid actually gives this breath with the eyes closed, but it is also okay to do them with the eyes open. I just know that he gave the instructions. We have those instructions with the eyes closed. But if you drink in through the eyes, that's also okay. Sometimes even myself, I'll put my glance with my eyes closed to the center of my forehead with the inhalation and then lower it to the navel area. It helps really direct the flow of the breath. So that might be also something that you or others could experiment with.
I imagine light and life entering through my eyes as well as through my breath. Mm.
Through every cell and every pore of the body. Everything's sipping this light and light, not just the eyes, not just the breath. The breath is entering every fiber of our being. You know, we're not solids. We think we are. It's an illusion. So the breath, the light and life is flowing through us. It is in us too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. It helps so much to have a little bit of a dialogue. Is there anything else from anyone else?
From Alima in South America, yes. Is it South America? Petra?
From Holland.
From Holland. I don't know why I was thinking she's from I'm sorry, Alima. She asked, can you practice this exercise at any moment of the day?
Yes. Yes, Murshid says, he says in the instructions, it is best done in the morning before, either outside or before an open window. However, he says it can be done two times, even three times, and then he says, and even more in the case of illness or problems with the breathing apparatus. So it's a very helpful breath. Well, it's the foundation of everything, we might say. They can unmute for this if they want to say something.
And Amina, I think I'd like for you to go ahead and this is another question from Amina, but if you would like to unmute for a moment and ask your question.
I hope I got splendid.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I was feeling the air through the Shushumna channel around my spine, and it felt like it was going down inside it, and on the exhale, coming out on the outside of that channel.
Yes, it can happen.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it can happen that way, and there is another practice that is actually given in that way, where the breath will travel up and down the sides of that channel. So, you know, I would just examine your own experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to move on. So I'm reading from the Reflections on the Art of Personality by Hidayat Inayat Khan, who opened who's the Pura Murshid of our Sufi movement, and the beloved son of Hazrat Anay Khan. And I'd like to read two short teachings, but I think they highlight the teaching we're about to read by Hazrat Anay Khan. Self-denial could be understood as a practice done with the desire to overcome undesirable tendencies, inclinations, and fantasies. In which case, self-denial reveals itself as being mastery over the self. Self-denial could be understood as a practice done with the desire to overcome undesirable tendencies, inclinations, and fantasies. In which case, self-denial reveals itself as being mastery over the self. Mastery over the self. In Tibetan Buddhism, they give the term, when one first begins to meditate, first they say you have to tame the wild horse. And then you have to train the horse. They give that analogy. It's the same principle here. Sort of self-denial with the idea of being able to control. And it starts small. You know, Murshida Vera, when she first initiated me, she told me one day a week, I could pick whatever day it was, but one day a week to go without food. And she said, whenever you feel hungry, pray. Remember to pray. And I did that for a lot of years, but you know, that's a simple thing. It's controlling the appetite of the body. And it's also a very useful practice to remember all those that are hungry and won't have food tomorrow, where I could. So these are good things because they help us to train ourselves, to control things. I mean, that's a very base wet thing, but it might be something else. Biting the nails, or I don't know, you know, something that we have that we want to overcome, or it could be an obsessive thought, you know, and we use that as the very trigger to make us remember to pray. You know, we can use these things as our, I call them meditation buddies, but like these tools, you know, or agents to sort of encourage us to practice or remember.
Nona?
Yes.
I'm thinking of a connection with what we know from yoga and disciplines like that of chakras and the interconnectedness between what you're saying in some ways, denial. Self-denial is not that usual way that we might think of that word,
right.
Of mastery. And it would not have to mean a shutting down. In some cases, it might be shutting down your appetite so you could fast. But in the chakras, if one chakra is over-dominating, it's not about shutting it down, it's like opening the flow.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
In enhancing the dialogue between all of them.
Yeah. And that was what that first reading was about, the breath. It's exactly that. To open that up. And sometimes when it's like, well, how do I know? You know, somebody might ask, well, how do I know if something's closed or open? Often you will know if there's a tension there. Tension. You know, or something's pulling your attention. Then you can sort of, and you know, you can make this motion in front of the body. Just do that with me. I'm the face of a clock, and I'm moving my hands in a clockwise position. Can you feel the energy starts to, just close your eyes and feel that. Can you feel a kind of flow of energy or things start to move just by doing this?
Clockwise or anti?
Clockwise. You are the face of the clock.
Facing up.
You are the face. So here's 12 and here's 6. Other way, Vatan. Yeah, other way. Other way, Musa. Other way. Down. Other way.
Other way. The other way first, and then, then after you said that, I went the other way.
You're going this way. You're going this way. When you feel a little out of balance, or you feel tension, or you feel anxiety, or you feel fear, or you feel yourself nauseated sometimes, or a headache, or sore throat, these things you can help yourself. It can help the energy start to flow in the correct direction. Okay? Mm-hmm. Do you feel it? I feel it moving all the way down my legs now and up again. So you can help yourself to kind of spin those, mm-hmm. start to spin those centers. Okay, I'm reading again from this book, Reflections on the Art of Personality. Number 21. It is a natural inclination to react offensively to every offense. It is a natural inclination to react defensively to every offense. However, when every effort is made to preserve one's inner equilibrium, the outcome of those efforts is finally a gain, although it might appear to be a loss. You understand? It is a natural inclination to react defensively to every offense. However, when every effort is made to preserve one's inner equilibrium, the outcome of those efforts is finally a gain, although it might appear to be a loss. You understand?
So it's like if someone says, your reaction is, you can't say that about me. But you just keep your equilibrium. Then it seems like you've lost, because, hey, they said that about you. But you really have gained. Because it doesn't matter that they said that.
Well, and it's a little bit like that, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say. Do you know what I mean? There's something to that. It's like, usually when someone says something bad about us, it really reflects worse on them than it does on us. Do you know what I mean? It's a reflection of their mentality. And if we fight with it, we just make a deeper impression, you know, or maybe we feel there's some truth in it too, you know, we have to defend ourselves.
Been offended and you've learned how to deal with that. You only gain, you don't lose.
Hmm.
Yeah. You might lose a friend that wasn't a friend to begin with. I should tell you that.
Well, and you know what? If the breath also gets out of a rhythm when we start to. Those great silent yogis are said to live so many years because they maintain that rhythm of the breath. They don't interrupt it with speaking. I've seen it read somewhere about the amount that is cut from our life is somehow in proportion with the amount of our speech. You know, silence is golden.
I've also heard that they believe that in China, and how long you live has to do with how many breaths you take.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to breathe fewer breaths, longer.
Longer.
Breaths.
Yeah.
And then short, choppy.
Yes, instead of panting. Really important.